We forgive as God has forgiven us. How do you want to be forgiven? Of everything in your life? Everything? Do you want to be forgiven like you forgive others? If you haven't forgiven, you need to do that. Because Satan will use it as a stumbling block before you.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Today's scripture is Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. We're doing a series on breaking the chains of Satan. Because Satan likes to chain us. And he tries to do that as Christians. We many times struggle in our Christian walk with things that Satan throws before us. We need to be victorious. We need to live that life free from the footholds and the chains that Satan tries to bind us with. Because I've been freed through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Help us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit move in our hearts. May the Word of God speak to us. May you be honored in all things. Give me words to say that you might be honored in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that Satan tries to chain us with is our past. You ever noticed that? Or when someone has hurt us, and we deal with that hurt in our lives, he reminds us time and time again. But God has a cure. And I want to talk about, how do you forgive someone who hurts you? I mean, they've really hurt you. You may have been scarred from something of your past. How do you deal with that? Well, Tim Sledge is a pastor who grew up with an alcoholic parent. From his experiences, he developed a recovery ministry at his church. And it is there that he wrote a 12-unit course on making peace with your past. And he reminds us of things we need to do in our lives in order to be freed from the influence of Satan. You know, it's hard to forgive someone who's hurt you deeply. And yet, as Christians, we're told that we ought to forgive. Is there someone you haven't forgiven? Is there someone that is in your past that you keep that grudge? Have you come to grips with your feelings? Forgiveness is something that we can learn from God. But there's some footholds that Satan just sets before us. Stumbling blocks. There are things that he tells us that are absolutely false. And he wants us to believe them. We've heard them. You know, Tim Sledge, and I am not a counselor, but I can read the Word of God and tell what the Word of God says. He claims there is a chronic shock syndrome. And with that, you turn off your emotions. You've been hurt so much that you just have become numb, without feelings. And after a while, you begin to ask when your feelings start coming back, was it my fault? Why did this happen? But you have trouble dealing with your feelings. One of the rules of a dysfunctional family is do not talk about your feelings and do not talk about your problems. And nothing gets solved. Feelings don't get solved. Problems don't get solved. You hide them away in order to keep your feelings under control. Nothing's solved. It's just as though the events have never happened. Or so you think. Until it begins to eat away at you. Well, sometimes Satan will use fear. If you were abused as a child, you may be fearful to express your anger. Because you weren't allowed to express that anger. If it was an adult that had abused you or overpowered you, you let that anger simmer inside. It was fear of punishment. And that would keep you from telling the truth or even dealing with what happened in your life. There's another one sometimes that Satan uses. He says, I had good parents. That's I had good parents syndrome. It really wasn't their fault. I actually had it coming to me. Families of alcoholics cover up for each other. And the family members become enablers. And it's common to hear things like this. Yes, my father beat me, but he didn't beat me badly. Or, I didn't have it as rough as some other people have it. And you minimize the situation by denying it. Or, Satan may have told you this lie. Good Christians don't get angry. I used to believe that. I had a temper and I was trying to deal with my temper in my life. And I said, you know, I must not be a good Christian. Because good Christians don't get angry. And you deny the feelings because you think that anger is a sin. Well, did you know that anger is not a sin? God becomes angry. You see, it's when your anger gets out of control that it becomes that sin. And you need to realize that Satan chains us so that we cannot move forward to forgive people. Here's one. Forgive and forget. Right? Forgive and forget. Forgiveness is not just forgetting. We learn from things. God has given us a tool and a memory to learn. And forgive and forget is a misleading statement. We can learn from our past. We shouldn't be stuck in our past, though. We must move beyond. If you remember something, it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven someone. We've got to understand that. And sometimes Satan says, if you forgive that person, that would mean that they're right and you were wrong. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean that the person was right. Did you know that? Forgiveness doesn't mean that the person was right. Was it right for the men to do what they did to Jesus on the cross? Was it right for them, as Ed read about the scoffing, the mockery? Was it right for them to beat him? Was it right for them to crucify him? Was it right for them to scoff him? No. But listen to what Jesus said. When they had come to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right, one on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Wow. You see, our Lord gave us a great example there. By his forgiveness didn't mean that they were right. And forgiveness doesn't mean that the person controls you. Okay, by that I mean, well, I'm going to misuse you, but you have to forgive me because you're a Christian. Don't we get some goofy ideas sometimes in our lives? We really do. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the person controls you. Control is part of a dysfunctional family, and that's a real important issue with them. It actually means they can't control you any longer when you forgive them. Forgiveness means that you no longer regard the offending person as indebted to you. Have you ever thought of that? Someone hurts you, and it's almost, you owe me. And I'm going to make sure that you pay up. That's not forgiveness. The idea that you owe me is no longer a part of my life when I forgive. You owe me nothing. That's part of the problem that keeps us going back and forth. That's part of the problem. It doesn't stop the cycle. You know, on the Fiddler of the on the Roof, my favorite musical, my favorite movie, it's the greatest, and if you've never seen it, you've got to see it. I remember it being said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Remember what Tevye said? Oh, great. Then the whole world will be blind and toothless. Yeah. It must stop. Forgiveness means not being controlled by your past. You can move forward. You can move forward with your life without any guilt and without being controlled by Satan. The chains have been broken. Wow. Well, we looked at this idea of forgiveness, and I forgot to mention that second point, but you probably caught it up there, what forgiveness is and isn't. Well, thirdly, let it go. Yeah, we're going to sing the song, Let It Go. Yep. Brittany, I love your girls because they come over, they sat at the piano and they played Let It Go, Let It Go. And that's what God wants us to do In Matthew 18, 21 through 34, we have the example of Peter. He came and said to him, meaning the Lord, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" He thought he was being generous. Woo! And Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Wow, how do you keep track of that? I know people who might try to keep track of it. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he didn't have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him and said, 'Have patience with me. I will repay you everything.'" Huge debt. "And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling. And he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and they came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, the Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him." We forgive as God has forgiven us. How do you want to be forgiven? Of everything in your life? Everything? Do you want to be forgiven like you forgive others? If you haven't forgiven, you need to do that. Because Satan will use it as a stumbling block before you. You know, there is a direct relationship between my forgiveness of other people and God's forgiveness of me. Colossians 3:13 says this: "Bearing with one another." And by the way, we can help one another. Isn't that nice? When it's hard, when it's hard to do, we can help one another. "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." You know, when we forgive, we demonstrate the forgiveness and our gratitude to God. In Luke 23:34, but Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. They took everything from him. And yet, he said, "Forgive them." People, forgiveness brings healing. And when we don't forgive, it's like an open wound, or a wound that is just kind of covered over, and then it begins to hurt again. Because something triggers that memory, or something triggers something. And, you know, you can choose, and I put "to be," I really meant to remain in anger, in bitterness, or in bondage, or be absolutely free. It's your choice. It's your choice. Our ultimate goal is spiritual and emotional wholeness. That's what God wants for us. How many of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom? How many have not? Okay. She was quite an interesting person. She and her Christian family hid the Jews during World War II from the Nazis. And that was during the time when they were gathering up the Jews to take them to concentration camps. And they helped many, many Jews escape. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. But her family and herself was arrested February 1944. Her sister Betsy died in the concentration camp. And it's hard to say how many died in the camp that Corrie Ten Boom was at. But many died of starvation, tuberculosis, exhaustion, and some the gas chambers. Some say that 117,000 women died at that camp. And Corrie was released because of a clerical error, finally, after she spent some time there. Well, we know with God there's no errors. God had a plan. And so she wrote this book called The Hiding Place. And after she was released, she went from church to church talking about the love of God and about the forgiveness. Corrie believed that one had to understand what happened at the cross in order to understand forgiveness. If you didn't understand what happened at the cross, you'd never be able to forgive. And here's her recorded testimony, her actual voice, about an incident in her life concerning forgiveness.
Christ Himself, and His cross shows us that we can accept suffering as a part of God's plan for this world. When I was in a concentration camp, one of the most terrible things I had to go through was that they stripped us of all our clothing, and we had to stand. The first time was the worst. I said, "Betsy, I cannot bear this." And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells, they took His garments, He hanged there naked. And I knew He hanged there for me, for my sins. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Some people are afraid to look at the cross. are you? Don't be afraid. The cross is terrible. It is terrible how Jesus suffered. Not to describe. But you must not be afraid to look at it. For if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus should have suffered for your sins. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sins rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I have guidance every day. It was some time ago that I was in Berlin, and there came a man to me and said, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom wants him here forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus has said that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my Heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. I knew, I'm not ready for Jesus coming because I have no forgiveness for my sins. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
Christ has taught us all about forgiveness. When Christ lives in us, we can do things that we thought was never possible. With God, all things are possible. That's exactly what she was trying to express. Is there someone you haven't forgiven? Give it to God. Give it to God right now. Don't hold on to it. For Satan will make you bitter, angry, and you can't move forward. I'm going to ask that we stand together. I'm going to ask the group come forward, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we need to forgive. Help us to move forward. If there's anyone here that has not forgiven, they have held resentment in their hearts, Lord, give them the strength to let go. I thank you for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for my sin. And I ask, God, that you lead us and direct us to forgive others. Empower us with your Holy Spirit for that. And Lord, right now, if there's someone here today that needs to give up, surrender to you, and forgive, I pray, Lord, that you work in their hearts to do so. Free them from the chains of Satan. We thank you. If there's anyone here, Father, that doesn't know Jesus, may they start that journey by believing, by having faith in Christ, and then confessing that and repenting of their sins. And then identifying with Jesus Christ through baptism as their sins are washed away. And then walking in that newness of life. Thank you, God. Thank you for our salvation. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.